that special, Brother Dean. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15 this morning. Romans chapter 15, we're going to begin reading at verse 1 as we find our text this morning. And just again, thankful for you being here. I want to encourage everyone here and at home to get your Bibles out and study along, take notes, look up scriptures later to dig in deeper. We want to make sure that we rightly divide the word of truth. That means we have to be diligent in our studies, and pray that God will speak to us through his word this morning. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. If you're able, let's stand together. The word of God says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles, and laud him all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful again for the opportunity to come together to sing your praises. We're thankful for your holy word that you have given and preserved for us. We thank you that through Jesus, we have hope and life everlasting. And Lord, that we get to walk with you today. And Father, I pray that you'll comfort hearts of those who are hurting today. I pray that you encourage everyone's spirits. Lord, that you would heal those that are sick. But Father, I just pray that everyone who hears your word today can feel the presence and comfort of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to speak your word exactly as you'd have me to. Convict our hearts, Lord. Please help us to put off the old man and put on the new man. Help us to love others more than ourselves. And help us to love you above all things. Lord, please, if there's anyone watching or hearing this message today who's never been born again, I pray today they would hear the word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and call on your name and receive you as their Savior. Father, I pray that through your mercy and grace, you would receive us and receive our worship today. Help us all to grow in your grace and knowledge, to be true disciples who make disciples. And Father, may the number of the disciples be multiplied in this place for your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing so long. I wanted you to get the sense we started our new theme for the year last week with the verse 13 that's on the wall here and there on the screen. And so I wanted to start there, but in order to really gain a better understanding of what's going on here as we consider living with this hope, abounding in hope, we want to back up and get the sense of what's going on. And today we're really going to focus on verse 7. So if you look back to verse 7, we read, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." And so as we start to walk this back a little bit and this idea of abounding in hope, This happens only because Christ has received us. And the way that we've been received in Jesus is the way that he expects us to receive one another. And so as we consider why God, through Jesus, would receive us, and how the fact that we've received Jesus and been received by Jesus, how that ought to impact the way that we live our lives day to day, what's that all about? And I really believe that you can see the sense of it if you just back up one more verse, because notice in verse 7 it says, wherefore. That when you see the word wherefore or therefore, it's important to go back and see what it's there for. Wherefore, you understand what I'm saying. Verse 6 says, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do we exist on this planet today? The Word of God tells us in Revelation 4:11 that all things were created by Him and for Him, for His pleasure. Everything exists for the glory of God. And so when we're talking about even the idea of receiving one another as Christ has received us, that's to the glory of God. So Christ has received us to the glory of God. And what God wants us to do is to glorify God with unity in our minds and in our mouths, that we would receive one another in the same way Christ has received us. Now, a lot of times when we think about receiving someone, especially in the sense of the church, we think about receiving them. They come up and the church votes and we bring them into the fellowship. Their name is recorded on the church roll. And we have that. That's kind of our modern traditional mindset of receiving somebody. And certainly, maybe that has a little application here, but I'm just telling you that I don't think that what Paul had in mind as he wrote to those in the church at Rome, I don't think what he had in mind was is putting somebody's name on a roll in a database. You guys see what I'm saying? I don't think that it was about, well, we got the clerk over here with the scribe writing somebody's name down, so that's how we receive somebody. I believe it's much deeper than that. I believe it's much more personal than that. I believe it's much more spiritual than that. I believe that it has to do with our relationship with one another through Christ. Our conversation, our behavior, our lifestyle, the way that we live our lives together in the kingdom, for the glory of God, that we would receive one another. And I think if you back up to verse 1, you get it, right? He says, when we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So Jesus comes and gives us an example, and those who had reproached the word of God, the name of God, and the glory of God, their reproach fell on Jesus because he put others ahead of himself. He loved us, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient to unto death, even the death of the cross, to pay the debt that you and I owe. And so the reproaches that we deserved, he took on himself because he put us ahead of himself. And he said, that's our example, that it's not about me. And can I just submit to you today that there are problems and divisions and trouble in churches today. There are problems and trouble and division in this church today. And maybe they're not big, but they exist. And the reason they exist is because I put myself ahead of you, and you put yourself ahead of somebody else. And we're not living in a way that we're living in a way where we're trying to please ourselves instead of pleasing our neighbor to try to edify them. Just let that sink in a second, because that's what we're talking about. Listen, you said, well, you don't understand what they did. You don't understand how they acted. You don't understand how they treated me. By the way, 9 times out of 10, the person you're upset with has no idea what they did. They weren't being intentional. You're just being sensitive. I love you. I'm your pastor. I'm going to tell you that sometimes you're too sensitive. Sometimes your perception of reality isn't actually reality. There's a reason God wants things to be established in the face of 2 or 3 witnesses, so we can know what actually happened. I mean, that's just it. I mean, be honest. How many of you have ever had any discussions in your family with your spouse? And you just, you know, had a discussion about something? I mean, let's just be real. You've had arguments. You've had disagreements. Why? I'm telling you that 9 times out of 10, it was a lack of communication. And it was because of some unmet, unspoken, uncommunicated expectation. Someone acted in a way that's different than what you expected, and they didn't know what you expected. And so many times that's the way it is in every relationship. It comes down to a lack of communication. And you saw something, and you took it one way, and that's not the way it was intended at all. And so we're so concerned about ourselves that we're not receiving one another the way that Christ received us. Well, how did Jesus receive us? I want to tell you that verses 6 and 7 are key. The way he received us was for his glory. That ye with one mind and one mouth may glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. He received you so that God the Father would get glory. Even in his receiving of you, it wasn't about himself personally as the God-man. It was about his Father in heaven. He was always concerned about glorifying God. And I just think that we need to get to the place as people that we look at it and say, what's going to glorify God in this situation? That he was concerned about glorifying his Father with one mind and one mouth. With one mind internally, that's what's going inside your own noggin. And with one mouth, the things that we say that come out of the abundance of the heart, that those things would be in unity, that those things would be in one accord, that we'd all be thinking the same things, saying the same things, because we're all concerned about glorifying the Father more than we are about getting our own way. That's tough, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but I like to get my own way. As a matter of fact, at my house, there's two ways to do everything. There's my way and the wrong way. Okay. I mean, that's the way we are, right? And as you grow and mature and you have to learn how to deal with other human beings, you learn that it's not always just your way. It's not always just the way I like things. It's not even always the way that we've always done it. Listen, if we're not careful, we're more concerned and we elevate our opinions and our preferences and our traditions above the very Word of God and the very God of the Word. Amen. And we've got to be careful about that. And I'm telling you, we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it, and so are you if you're honest today. We like things to be the way we like things to be. And we've got to learn that our focus has got to be glorifying God. Christ received us to the glory of the Father, and you and I need to learn to receive one another to the glory of the Father. Can I say, secondly, that Jesus received us gladly? Would you turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." I'd tell you that Jesus knew what was coming when he went to the cross. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he was able to go through the cross and endure it, and the contradiction of sinners that was against him, all of the suffering, all of the shame, all the pain that he endured, he did that looking beyond the cross to the joy that was set before him. Well, what was that joy? It was you. It was everyone who would trust in him. You were the joy that was set before him so that he could receive you unto himself. You see, he told his disciples before he went to the cross, "I'm going to go, I'm going to prepare a way, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that I can receive you into myself." And part of that preparation was his death, where on the cross he would say, "It is finished," where he would lay down his life and then take it up again so that you and I could be forgiven, so that he could receive us into everlasting habitations with himself. And he did that gladly for the joy that was set before him. Joy. It's the same sentiment that the apostles and other missionaries had. He writes to those at Thessalonica. He says, what is our joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even ye at his throne? Is it not even you that he'll bring to himself at his coming? Listen, our joy ought to be that we are received in Christ, and he did that gladly. He receives us to himself through his death and resurrection, and we ought to, with joy, receive others to ourselves. I don't know. I feel like we've departed from the examples of Scripture, and more importantly, the heart of Christ so many times with our attitude towards other people. And I just want to tell you, I think this pandemic has made a mess of us. I read about the saints of old, and some not even that long ago. I read about Christians in 1918 and the Spanish flu, and I read about those who were living for Jesus during the bubonic plague. I read about those Christians who stayed behind when everyone was sick and dying, when everyone was trying to flee the disease, that there were people who loved Jesus and they loved others, and they went to them and they loved them and they helped them and they took care of them, risking their lives to care for the sick and the dying. And I just want to tell you, this ought to hit home, because too many Christians in America today are running away from anyone who might have some kind of sickness. We're not loving people. We're not caring for people, because we don't have to, right? That's why we pay the doctors and nurses, so they can risk their lives for other people. I just got news for you today. People need to be loved. They need more than can be provided for them in a hospital. They need their family and their friends and their Christian brothers and sisters and Christians to love them when they're not Christians. They need somebody to love them and care for them. Listen, I'm not trying to pretend like I've got all the answers. I'm just saying that we don't treat each other with the kind of love that we ought to. And we've got to put others first, to the glory of God. We've got to put others first, and we ought to be glad to do it. I don't know. I'll say this. I think my heart and attitude towards coming here has gotten better. It's sweeter. I'm just telling you, when I come here and you walk in the door, I was always glad you showed up, because I'm just, be honest with you, after every sermon, I don't think anybody's coming back. I'm not joking. Like, at the end of every service, I'm like, that may be the last one. I don't know. And so I've always been glad when people showed back up, but I'm just telling you now, when I get to stand out there and greet, and when I see people coming in and we gather, it is joy to my soul. Like, to be in the same room worshiping Jesus together, to talk to each other, to stand out in the foyer and talk about whatever's going on, and to pray together and to sing together and to listen to the Word of God together, it is a joy to my soul. And I appreciate it now more than I did a couple of years ago. And I'm glad. I'm glad. And we ought to gladly receive other people. And can I just say, we ought to gladly receive one another. That's here, but man, we ought to be looking to receive others that aren't part of this. See, it's so many times it gets to just be about us. And that's not the point. Christ was lifted up to draw all men unto himself, and we ought to be looking to receive any who would come, even if they're not like us. It's good that we would receive people who aren't like us, because I got news for you. Ain't a lot of people like you people. You're like what we like to call unique. Special. Sometimes I think that we only want to find people that are like us, who think like us, look like us, dress like us, talk like us, act like us. But Jesus didn't die for people who are like us. He died for all people. And he's glad to receive them. Can I say that he received us for his glory? He received us gladly. Can I say also he received us with mercy? In Luke chapter 15 and verse 2, the word of God says, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They mocked Jesus. First, they ridiculed John the Baptist. They said, "He's a weirdo. He lives out in the wilderness and eats bugs." And then Jesus came and they called him a wine bibber and a friend of sinners. And it was meant as a great insult to Jesus that he was the friend of sinners. And yet that insult is one of the sweetest things I know of my Savior. That he's a friend of sinners. He received you and I with mercy, else he couldn't receive us at all. Because make no mistake about it, though Jesus was a friend of sinners, though he ate with the publicans, and though he welcomed the harlots who came and repented, I'm telling you, he was holy. He is holy. He always has been and always will be holy. The fact that he was a friend of sinners does not take away from the reality that he is the holy God. And yet, in his holiness, he receives us filthy sinners. So he does it with mercy and he does it with forgiveness. And can I remind you yet again today that Jesus doesn't forgive sin arbitrarily. He forgives sin based on his payment for sin, that he paid the price so that we could be forgiven for eternity. He forgives. His mercy is about his forgiveness. And can I say that Jesus forgives with impartiality? Jesus doesn't care who you are, where you're from. He still has mercy for you. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're from the north or the south, from the city or the country. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. It doesn't matter if you're an American or from some other country. You understand that Jesus receives everyone who comes by faith. All of the rest of those divisions that we make up in the world, they don't exist in the kingdom of our Savior. They don't exist. Isn't that beautiful? He's completely impartial. And I'm afraid that none of us are. I'm afraid we're quick to judge people. For the good or the bad. When we go door to door in our community, a lot of times we're walking up to the house and you can learn things about people pretty quickly. Like, for instance, when I go up to a house and they've got OU gear hanging everywhere, I'm like, I'm going to like these people. We're gonna be just fine. That was a joke, by the way. I do feel that way a little bit sometimes. No, I mean, there's just things. You make judgments about people automatically. Like when I go up to houses and they got Arkansas gear hanging everywhere. And I think I'm going to have to try a little harder to find something in common with these people. Some of you make judgments of people based on the kind of vehicle they drive. I know. I hear it. I hear it all the time. All the Ford people give me a hard time. I see the Chevy people giving the Ford people a hard time. And then there's all you people driving foreign cars and, you know, like my wife. We make judgments of people based on the vehicles they drive and the clothes they wear. If they've got tattoos or not. How long their hair is or how short their hair is. We make judgments of people all the time. All the time. And what I'm telling you is, Jesus looks beyond all that to our need, to our heart, to the person. And we need to learn to receive people the same way that we've been received. For his glory, gladly, with mercy, and can I say intentionally, Jesus received us, and it was the plan from the beginning. Matthew 25:34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, from the beginning, from before the beginning, God has established that those who trust in Jesus would be welcome into a kingdom. And the place has been prepared. This is not by accident. This is by intentionality. This is by the design and plan of Creator God. That he would welcome you, that he would intentionally bring you in and receive you to himself. Would you look to 1 Peter chapter 1 with me? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You were redeemed, you were received by faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are purchased, bought back, redeemed by his blood. And when we believe in God that raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, our faith and our hope rest in Jesus. So we see some of the ways that Jesus receives us for his glory, gladly, with mercy and intentionality. But can I just look at a couple of examples with you very quickly about how we need to receive one another? This word receive means to take to oneself. It's an active word. It's not a passive thing, but it's an active thing. It's the same word that's used in Matthew 16:22 when it says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. When Jesus started talking about having to go to Jerusalem and die, Peter took him and brought him close to himself and saying, no, Lord, you can't go. You can't die like that. I'm not going to let that happen. That's the idea that it has. It's the same thing that's used in Acts chapter 18, verse 26. Acts 18:26, it says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. This idea of having somebody like Apollos and being taken and brought to them, close to them, so that they could help him. That's the picture that we see. It's the same thing in Acts 28 and verse 2. After the shipwreck, the Bible says the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. It said it was raining, it was cold, and they showed us no little kindness. In other words, they showed us great kindness because they received us around their fire and they warmed us and they gave us something to eat. They took care of us and helped us. This is the picture that God gives, that we are to receive others the way that he has received us. So the question today is, have you been received by God? You see, the way we talk normally in churches and preaching today, we encourage people. We say, have you received Jesus into your heart? Now, I understand where that comes from. That when we hear the word and we believe on Jesus, we receive his word We trust in him. And certainly when you believe in Jesus, his spirit comes and lives inside of you. So there's that idea of receiving him. But I want you to understand today that it's really more about him receiving us than it is about us receiving him. What do I mean? I mean that we're the ones who've sinned. I mean that we're the ones who have transgressed. Mankind has rebelled against God. We have disobeyed his commandments. We have continued in the way of Adam. We've disobeyed. We've separated ourselves from God because of our sin. We are the ones who need to be accepted. We are the ones who need to be received. And Jesus is glad to do that for all who believe. My sin has separated me from my God, but God loved me so much that Christ died for me. And he did the same for you. You see, we believe and are persuaded that Christ died for all, because all were dead. That Jesus died for the ungodly. And you and I, every human being on this planet needs a Savior. And God loves us so much that Jesus became one of us, lived like one of us, was tempted in all points like all of us, yet he did not sin. And then he suffered, and he paid the price for our sin when he died on Calvary. He said, "It is finished. It's paid in full." He laid down his life, and after 3 days, he took it up again. And he promises eternal life, forgiveness to all who believe. So my question for you this morning is, has Christ received you? Have you been received into his kingdom? Are you a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Have you been passed from death to life? Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you trusted in Christ alone? And if you've trusted in him, then he has received you unto himself, and he's preparing a place for you. And you don't have to face death eternally separated from God, but you have the hope and the promise of life everlasting. We have that hope that we can abound in day by day. And so if you've been received, the second question is, how are you receiving others? How are we receiving one another? Are we putting others ahead of ourselves? Are we esteeming others better than ourselves? Are we loving one another and being merciful to one another? Listen, I don't know about you, but I've been the recipient of a lot of grace in my life. And I need to be the kind of man who shows that kind of grace and mercy towards other people. You see, that's the only way this thing's going to work. It's the only way that it's going to work. And so we have love, and we have respect. We certainly stand for the truth, but we receive one another the way that he has received us. We desperately need unity in this church. We need unity in our families and our lives. We need unity in this church. And that only comes when we're all believing the word, being obedient to the word. So this morning, I want to ask our musicians to come. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I want to ask you to stand with me, please. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Have you been received by God, by Jesus, through faith? If not, you can trust in him as your Savior today. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And I hope that you've heard the word today. And if you've heard the word today, then you can believe. And if you believe, then you can call on his name. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear, believe, and call on his name today. And if you are saved, will you take the next step? Some of you need to follow Jesus in baptism. You need to identify publicly. You need to take that sign of the new covenant through baptism. Others need to make other decisions today. If he's convicting your heart, will you please come as we sing?